He was a most unlikely person to become a Christian champion. Growing up poor, illiterate, profane, and skeptical of all things religious. And yet this young man, as divine providence would have it, fell in love with a godly young woman who introduced him to relationship with Christ. Now, this young man was staggered by the notion that someone as unworthy and uncouth, as unrighteous as him, could be accepted by the righteous God. It absolutely flabbergasted him until he realized that he was accepted by God, not on his righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ. And his wonder at the depth of God's mercy and the span of Christ's grace so thrilled him that he gave his life to Christ, the Christian disciple. But he believed that Christ had not only called him to become a Christian, but had called him to preach the gospel. And so he began to preach the gospel to small little Baptist congregations. There was just one problem. In England, where he lived, it was against the law to preach the gospel unless you had obtained a preaching license from the Anglican Church. But this young man believed that being called by the Spirit to preach had nothing to do with any government sanction or any other religious body's approval. And so he ignored the law, and the government arrested him, and they threw John Bunyan in jail. And he stayed in jail for 12 years. They kept coming to him and saying, look, all you have to do is just obtain a preaching license from the Anglican Church. But he believed so strongly that God had endowed each human being with competency of soul to make decisions of conscience for him or herself without any government interference. He believed so strongly in the principle of religious liberty and the separation of church and state. He wouldn't sign the certificate. He hated the separation from his wife and his children, but he remained in prison for 12 years, 1660 to 1672. But he used his time in prison well. This illiterate man taught himself to read and to write, and he felt the Spirit of God moving him to write a novel. A novel based on the question, what must we do to be saved? When he finished that novel, it was published. And from the time of its publication, it has never been out of print. The title of John Bunyan's masterwork, Pilgrim's Progress. The book was so popular, so universally acclaimed, that it moved the British government to realize they couldn't keep John Bunyan in prison any longer, and they released him. And he moved them by his example to realize they needed to extend toleration to religious groups that dissented from the theological norm. It cost him a significant portion of his life. But John Bunyan established for all of us the importance of the principle of religious liberty. We have celebrated this week Memorial Day, in which we honor those who are willing to give their lives on our behalf for the sake of our political freedom. We honor those who are willing to experience a violent death and a truncated life in order to lay down their lives for liberty. But this too is a memorial day. This too is a memorial meal. And when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we remember that our Lord poured himself out for us to attain our spiritual liberty. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, we remind ourselves through this memorial meal, our redemption was not cheaply won. It cost God the very life of his Son. In this memorial meal, as we underscore the self-giving nature of God, we sense that we are together family of God who live in indebtedness to our Lord, and we cannot pay that indebtedness unto our Heavenly Father except by pouring our lives out for those around us in gratitude to God. So on this Memorial Day, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do it in remembrance of the God and the self-giving nature of God, who in humility poured himself out on our behalf. And as you acknowledge that indebtedness, recognize also your indebtedness to an obscure, obstinate, illiterate Baptist preacher who believed so strongly that he would surrender his life and freedom for the principle of religious liberty, in an acknowledgement that God has given every one of us competency of soul to make decisions of faith for ourselves.